Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am just very, very excited today. We're having a mid-afternoon show, which is very cool because it breaks up my day. And, you know, I get to take a break from the daily grind of painting away, and my arm doesn't fall off. So it's a very good thing. And it's a very cool guest today. We're going to be talking Mr. Dylan Reynolds, writer, director, extraordinaire. We're talking about his film, The 420 Massacre, which I watched this weekend and just thoroughly enjoyed. Dylan, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I am doing great. Enjoying my day. I'm in South Florida, and It's not sunny today. We've had rain like nonstop for a week. It's still overcast, but at least it's not raining.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm out here in LA, and we actually have an overcast day today, which is kind of rare for us. So,
right.
So we're both in murky weather.
Oh man. I'm telling you. It's we just hope that John Carpenter's The Mist Pirates don't come out and get us. Right.
There you go.
That was terrible reference to a movie from a long, long time ago. Sorry about that, folks. Well, yeah, 420. Now, Dylan, let me ask you, are you native of California, L.A.?
Yeah, I'm one of the rare ones, actually. I grew up, I was born and raised in L.A.
Nice. I love it out there.
Yeah, I love L.A. too so much. You know, there's a lot of culture. If you're a film fan, there's a lot of screenings of old movies all the time, repertoire screenings. And there's just a lot of stuff to do. The prices, the rent, and everything else is definitely taxing. But other than that, there's not much to not like about L.A. So.
No, it's very true, very true. I went to college in Boston, grew up in Detroit, went to college in Boston. After school, I moved to San Diego, which means I was in L.A. every other weekend because, you know, like I said, I lived in San Diego. I'm kidding. Don't send me emails. San Diegans. Fun town with lots to do, I guess. Hey, there's always the zoo, right? Anyhow, no, L.A. is where the action is, baby. That's where all the craziness happens. I love it. So, yeah, you said you grew up out there. That's very true. Very few. It's weird because you're absolutely right. You meet people when you're in Southern California, and everybody seems to be from somewhere else. It's very strange, but because it's magic, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of transplants, but, you know, it's all the movie industry. Up north is, like, where all the tech is. So, you know, there's a lot of excuses for people to come out here, I guess, and try to make something. Kind of like, I guess, New York works that
very
way.
Very true.
Here.
Yeah, and it's but you're right. It does get spendy, man. It depends on where you. But well, even the, I don't know. It drove me out. I couldn't handle it anymore. I was like, this is. I left right when the economy crashed, and in 2009. Well, I guess it crashed in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally had enough in 2009. I had to move. So I moved to you know, I bounced around kind of looking for a place to live, and I said, man, I'm gonna move somewhere where money, what I was spending in San Diego, I can live like a king, you know, in some place like Kentucky. Because I'm a painter by trade, and all of my business is done online, like 90%, 99% of it. So
yeah, that totally makes
said,
sense
man, can,
for someone like you, yeah.
I can live anywhere,
is,
you know.
You know, I think the trick is, yeah, can you make the same amount of money by moving out of state? Because, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, I make sure I could buy a house anywhere else, but I'm going to be nowhere near buying a house anytime soon in California.
Right.
So.
Well, that's – you know, I met a girl, and basically we moved to a place that's pretty on par of what the cost was in San Diego. So I didn't save any money, but I fell in love, so it all worked out, you know. Oh, that's
It
how those
always
things go.
does.
That's how
Yep.
those things go. Exactly. Well, let me ask you, growing up, were you like a film guy? Were you the film guy, like in school and everything? A big film nut?
I mean, I guess for the most part, I was, I was always into movies, watching movies, writing stories, drawing and that kind of thing. So it was always an interest of mine. I didn't go to film school. For college, I went for marketing. But once I got out, I just knew I wanted to work in the film business, and so I just started going through Craigslist and doing, free gigs or low paying gigs, doing PA, grip, sound,
Learning
whatever
it.
it took. And yeah. So that was more or less my film school's working on low budget sets.
Oh,
So I
gotcha. I
eventually made
gotcha.
my first movie. Yeah.
That's nice. And that was in 2008, right?
Yeah. My first movie was called Chainlink, which is a crime drama. It's a little bit like the Dustin Hoffman movie, Straight Time, with
Okay.
a little more. I like to call it redneck noirs, where it's just like
Right.
it's the real crime, seedy kind of thing that takes place out in the sticks, kind of thing. So,
I
yeah.
am a big fan of crime literature. I love the whole noir theme, and there was a writer that I just one of my favorites that a lot of people probably aren't as familiar with. Everybody knows Raymond Chandler and all that kind of stuff, but Jim Thompson, and he kind of his stories were kind of in that vein that you're describing. Redneck noir, I like that. That's cool. That's he the movie The Grifter is based on one of his books, and
Right,
just were
Getaway.
very
This is the Getaway guy, right? I think he wrote The
absolutely
Getaway,
absolutely
and he wrote that movie was really messed up too, but fascinating. It's like I am a killer, my name's a killer, or something like that. With who was in that? Is it was it Casey Affleck that was in it?
I
I
think it
forget the
was.
name of the
I
movie, but
think it was.
that was pretty intense, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I like that. And it's funny because I'm a pop artist, and I draw a lot of glamour and stuff. And I think people think, oh, he just likes glamour and luxury and all this and that. And there is a lot of that in my work. But if you look closely, yeah, there might be a gal in expensive high heels sitting beside the pool. But look real closely, there's blood splatter on her shoes, and 90% of the people miss that. You know what I mean? And that's fine because the ones who do catch it dig it. They're like, ah, oh, that's. But yeah, I love that that kind of seediness, just under the surface. And interesting, interesting. So you started making films, and you got the taste, right? I mean, you came out with Chainlink, and then it was like all downhill from there. You're like, okay, I got to be doing this for a living. What's the story? What
Well,
happened?
it's very difficult to make movies, to make your money back off the movies. So,
Right.
I try to make a film whenever I can or whenever I'm able to. And each step of the process, you're both learning to be a better filmmaker and you're also learning the business a little bit more. So short story is after my first movie, didn't really make any money off it. It won some film festivals and that kind of thing. And then
That's cool.
then I start yeah then basically I started working in film distribution, in
Okay.
on the domestic side, placing stuff for cable and VOD and that kind of thing. I just kind of used some of my knowledge and inroads I made with distribution to apply it to my next movie. And as you said, then you just kind of keep building up from there. So hopefully, 420 Massacre does okay, and I can flip it and make another one. And that's kind of the general idea.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Advancements in technology, shifting markets, and the gig economy are changing the nature of work. With this in mind, Harvard Business School Executive Education is launching a new program on managing the future of work. Based on the latest research into the forces reshaping workforce demographics, this program is designed to help employers remain competitive by thinking strategically about today's evolving business landscape. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/future. That's hbs.me/future.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Well, I tell you, I'm a movie guy, and not that I make movies. I'm by no means I can't even imagine everything that's involved in making a feature film. My mind boggles. I'm glad you do because I really enjoy it. There's no way. I mean, I would have a heart attack. There's just I can't handle that amount of stress. You know.
I think there's pluses and minuses. Probably like with anything, like with painting too. It's like there's something. Sometimes it's frustrating as an artist, as a filmmaker, that you can't just think of something to put on there. You know, you need the camera guy, you need the lighting guy, you need to get the actor. So it's
absolutely
it's not so much individual expression in a sense, because there is definitely a collaborative part. Then again, collaboration creates great things too, and new ideas and all that. So it's always the hem and haw of that, I guess.
No, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Well, I love movies. I'm one of these guys, me and my gal, but we bought a house a couple years ago, and I'm still building it. It's still happening. I will have my outdoor backyard theater, hopefully done by this fall, just to screen movies and stuff. You know, I'm one of those people, you know, I love them. I love everything. I think it's very I'm fascinated with it. But again, I'm on the outside looking in. But I am also... I am a child of the 80s, grew up in the 80s, and so I watch. I'm not really like a horror person. I wouldn't describe myself as that. I've seen probably everything, but, I normally – it's not something I'm just – upset. I have friends that are horror people, if you know what I mean, and incidentally, I have other friends that are 420, and I have several where the two cross over. and I've been telling them all about this film. Big surprise, right? But the thing is I've seen a lot of slasher movies, and I think they're great for what they do, a good one, you know. for what they do. And there's some that stand out. I for some reason, I'm that movie The Collector pops into my mind all the time this week. I don't know what that's about, because your movie is nothing like that. I mean, there are people, you know, getting whatnot. But what I really liked about your movie is it reminded me of a kid. It reminded me of going to the drive-in. And I'm not saying your movie's dated. I don't want that to come across. It's just the fun we used to have watching a slasher movie with practical effects. I think you had a little CGI in there, but for the most part, wasn't that practical all effects?
Yeah, as much as possible, we try to do practical effects. We had to do a little CGI here and there to just, you know, make it work a little better, do a little more impact, or have a little more blood. It's tough to do. I got a lot more respect for movies that have a lot of practical effects in it, because it is very difficult. And it's all kind of making up these Mickey Mouse kind of contraptions that are like, all right, well, the bomb will go through the thing, and hopefully the brain matter will fly out, you know, and like, oh, that didn't work. Not sliding through, so we got to redo that, you know, and it's a tricky process. So,
and then your producer is sitting there going, that cost X amount to make, and now we have to do it again? Oh, my God.
Right. Well, you have to keep, you know, and then with your limited time and budget and all that stuff, it's difficult to pull off.
You have slasher film down, man, because you did it very well. This was a very good, fun horror, and I don't mean fun in a comedy way. There was comedy in there, but that wasn't the gist of it. And I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Great
movie.
Well,
I'm glad you liked it. Yeah. I mean, we kind of went in there. My intention was to, in a sense, try to make a slasher movie, like if we had the script in the 80s or 90s, and done it more straight based instead of self-referential or poking fun of the genre and that kind of thing. So I try to do it like a straightforward slasher, like you would see on VHS as a kid or drive-in, you know, like you were saying. So that was the goal.
Oh, well, I think it was accomplished. Very, very well done. And not to get too artsy-fartsy about it, I also liked, because I'm a painter, man. I know a lot of people. 420 was never my particular forte. I have no problem saying it. Back in my party days, I usually went for stuff a little harder, but I know a ton of people whose forte it was. one of the things that I find very, something I've heard ad nauseum a lot is how peaceful and gentle the 420 community is. And I liked, here you have it as a central theme in a horror movie, but it wasn't like the person did a bunch of weed and then got crazy and started killing people. That wasn't it at all. But there was an element of violence, and there is an element of violence. I mean, anybody who reads the newspaper and has read any of the stories based on the Mexican border and you know, seen bodies hanging from bridges and stuff. I mean, yeah, there's an element of violence to that business. And
it was kind of one of the things while I was researching or developing the project, one of the things I read about was these illegal marijuana grow operations out in the forest and national parks, where it causes some issues where, you know, they're polluting the sites and all that. But also, like, hikers will come across, you know, a crop of weed, and there could be bear traps, or they get shot at. So there has been incidents where these illegal marijuana grow operations are using violence to protect their crops, basically. So that kind of,
absolutely,
my research kind of developed as like, all right, so it's a slasher who's a weed farmer out at protect his crop out in the middle of the forest. So it was sort of based off, you know, real things that happen.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
And I'll say this, Dylan, and I'll probably get a ton of emails for this. You know, and if you think about it, though, think about something like a film like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, probably the granddaddy of all of that type of movie. You know, if memory serves, because it's been a while since I saw it, but I think I'm right on here. The local slaughterhouse had went out of business and everybody was poor and they were waylaying, you know, passerbys and you know, eating them and killing them and all kinds of stuff. I think an illegal grow farmer protecting his investment, and maybe he went a little nuts, you know, obviously went pretty nuts. Then the slaughterhouse going out of it, you know what I mean, and leading this family to become, you know, crazed mutants and what have you. So yeah, I don't think the premise is, you know, out of way. You don't have to suspend your imagination too much to get where it's coming from. And I also liked that it was a direct plot device. You know what I mean? That you didn't have to. Okay, well, what's happening here? This is, you know, some movies, you know, try to be the Citizen Kane of something, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just, I got it. I got what the plot was. I don't mean to say it was simple, but mm-hmm. It was easy to grasp and jump on for that ride. Didn't have to sell me the ride because I knew what it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we just tried. I mean, of course, it goes with the budget you're working with, you know, so it's kind of designed to be the thing it is. But yeah, we try to go in making a stripped down, straightforward, fun slasher flick. We're trying to reinvent the wheel or anything like that. But also with our approach to it, we try to make it with like characters you cared about, and there's actually something going on before you killed them. It was also part of
it. It was great character development in it. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Dylan. You know, when you become a gazillionaire, you know, then you can make your Mulholland Drives and stuff like that. But, you know, it doesn't matter, you know. Not that I'm putting down Mulholland Drive, anybody. David Lynch is fantastic, but, you know, you gotta make the money, baby. This is a fun – and, it, man, I know it came out. It's already out. It's on – people can watch it on Amazon and, video on demand, pretty much everywhere, right?
Yeah, it's definitely available in multiple outlets, iTunes, Google, Amazon. I think a couple other – Vudu, I think it's on right now. So it's out there. And, you know,
that's fantastic.
Hopefully people will enjoy it. We tried to, you know, as I said, we tried to tell a fun movie and also try to take chances within that formula. But for the most part, you know, people seem to enjoy it. You know, it's low budget indie filmmaking, so there are the trolling kind of comments and that stuff. But for the most part, I'm happy how it's been received, you know.
What? Anytime you're going to dip your toe into the horror realm, and again, I'm not a horror guy per se. I just know a lot and probably know more horror gals, to be honest, than guys. But you're right, man. That is a crazy, crazy fandom because they are on that shit and they're super critical too. For the sometimes, you know, I've actually been at a party and heard, well, you know, I don't know if those intestines looked real. I'm like, when have you ever seen real intestines? You know, are you kidding me? Spleens are that color. What is wrong with you? But they do. They get a little nuts. Sometimes they need to reel it in a little bit. So I wouldn't. Don't get discouraged by any of that, Dylan, because, you know, everybody online has an anonymous opinion. But I've been seeing good stuff. I've been seeing great reviews and stuff online, and I'll be leaving one on the 420 IMDb website as soon as I get a chance to. Just haven't had a chance after I saw it this, so far in the last couple of days. I do have to say,
I really appreciate that.
Best. Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. My pleasure to do so because it's a fantastic movie. Best tagline ever. I don't know. I have to. Was that a simple thing to come up with, or did it take a while? That inhale, exhale, scream. I mean, I'm like, that is brilliant, right? If taglines could get an award, that should win an award.
You know, I that's probably was the least difficult thing out of this whole process. I think at some point,
nice.
I think we were kicking around a couple. I think you know, they went and searched for the ultimate high. You know, there's a couple others like that.
That seemed to be
a simple one that worked. You know, it's kind of based off. I hear like some rap songs like "Inhale, Exhale." You know, so it's got that thing that reference to it. Well, and then we add a little horror bit at the end. So I think it does its job.
That's fantastic. Now, again, this you've made a couple films and whatnot, this being the latest. And I'm looking at your Internet Movie Database page, and it has fun fact about you being married to Vanessa since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on that. Hopefully that's current, and I just haven't put my foot in my mouth. He's like, yeah, you know.
Actually,
ended 3 months
Vanessa,
ago. Thanks a lot, Jamie.
My wife, Vanessa, also produced the movie and started the movie. She
nice.
Was she was the girl that that professes her love to the main girl over on that
right.
overlook sequence. I realized I was about to give some stuff away, but anyway, so she's
gotcha.
The film, and she you know, she was instrumental in putting this project together.
Well, hats off to you both, because I got to tell you, I've been, like I said, I've been in doing my thing for God, 20 years now, and my current girl, Dani, I've had a few over the years and whatnot, and it's not always easy to find, because this is a big project. When the creative types get an idea in their head and they're said, okay, we're going to do this, to have a partner that's down with it, and it digs it, and it's cool, you know, with props in the living room or whatever, you know. That isn't always an easy thing, you know what I mean? Really, the cast is over here again for a reading. I guess I'll make chili, you know.
Well, it helps that she's an actor, and, you know. It,
right.
So, of course, she's down for the process and was fine with it. But, you know, there was things like, I'll be so glad when all these props are out of the house is something she's saying. And, like, you know, we have, like, he's like, keep with the severed heads in storage, you know. We don't need him laying around the living room or whatever.
My mom's coming to visit.
Right.
Clean this house up. Jeez.
Right.
That's awesome.
So, but it's she's a great partner to have in all this craziness.
Oh, that's awesome.
When it works, you know, I don't have Yeah, you know, obviously I've had other relationships and stuff, but I can't imagine not having someone as supportive as Vanessa is on you know, my harebrained schemes. So.
Right, right. Well, it's, I'm telling you, it. I've known people that have went both routes on that, and oh man, what an uphill battle. Because you're fighting everybody else anyway. You know, you're fighting the world with just the project stuff. You know what I mean? You don't
need
it.
Any creative endeavor. You know, I always have to keep reminding myself every time. Every creative endeavor is like pushing a rock uphill. You know, and there's people pushing the rock against you as you try to push it up. You know, so it's a. It's definitely, you got to take your lumps and just keep pushing forward. That's mostly what it's about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But let me ask you on the business side of it, because I'm fascinated with all this kind of behind the scenes type stuff. Paying for this, getting the money, getting invested. Did you crowdfund this, or did you, you know, just smile and dial?
No,
or,
it was,
what was the problem?
It was all self-funded, this one. We didn't opted not to do the, just because I feel like the kind of Kickstarter thing has kind of been overdone in the past couple of years. So I just
right. I agree.
I may, for my next one, I may do like an Indiegogo kind of thing to, you know, so we get some few extra bells and whistles. Maybe we should have done that with this too. But I also like the idea of not being beholden to anybody or, you know, having to beg.
I'm that way.
You know, make my crap, you know, so,
I am absolutely
but, okay. I think there's definitely positive things about it.
Somebody asked me, I was at a party this weekend and we were, you know, drinking and conversating and what have you. And the conversation turned to, the Patreon thing. And they're like, oh, you should add that to your website. I'm like, absolutely not. I tell everybody how poorly I'm doing. No, I'm struggling. No, that's not what we're doing at all. that will tank high end sales. We're not doing that. You know, I will be smiling as the ship sinks. You know, oh, everything's fine. We're doing great.
Well, it's getting difficult. I know, like, especially like YouTubers and stuff with the adpocalypse situation. A lot of them aren't making the revenues that they were could be making. So, you know, it is for those kind of scenarios. Like, well, it is free content, so if you enjoy the content, then try to contribute a little bit. So I can understand that people are actively doing stuff, but to say, oh, I wrote a script the other day, I need $100,000 for it, give me money. You know, like, it just seems a little, seems. Like, you know, it should be more of a process to it before you get to that point. So.
I agree completely. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Hey, folks. Located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all-natural, organic, gluten-free skincare. Hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. LapothecaryUnique.com.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Today's sales leaders face a difficult task. Selling the right products at the right time through the right channels. A new 3-day program from Harvard Business School Executive Education addresses this problem directly. Join us on the Boston campus in August for Managing Sales Teams and Distribution Channels, where you will discover strategies that can lead to the best sales performance. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/sales. That's hbs.me/sales.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you are the gears turning for the next project? I know you just finished this. We were promoing it and everything. But I have to ask, Dylan. I have to ask because I want to see more because I think you're really good at what you do.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Exactly. The wheels are turning. We're talking to a couple people about potential projects or getting funding for stuff. You know, all that's, spin your wheels sometimes. So we'll see what happens. I have ideas and concept for
lunch dates and
for, what was that?
I said lots of lunch dates and what have you.
Yeah, exactly. And, trying to get something going. And I have ideas and concepts for a potential sequel or follow-up. I want to do a more of a murder mystery with slasher elements kind of thing. I'm watching a lot of giallos lately, which are Italian, I guess you'd call them horror movies, like with Dario Argento and Mario Bava and that kind of stuff. So, so I'm taking a deep dive into that genre and kind of working on a script that's within, that kind of style.
That's cool, man. That is awesome. I can't wait. I think that's very cool. I can only imagine what's going to come out of the process. You know, very, very cool.
Different ways to kill people. Yeah, you know, so different and creative ways to kill people. That's what we're working on.
Exactly. I tell you, every time, sometimes people ask me, they're like, do you ever get stuck for an idea for a painting? And I'm like, whenever that happens, I have a device. There was a song in the 80s, I think it came out in the 80s, might have came out in the late 70s, I'm not sure, by Elvis Costello, this new wave artist, and called Watching the Detectives. And I dig that song a lot, but I particularly dig one line in it. And it goes, she's filing her nails while they're dragging the lake. And I'm like, that always inspires a painting, no matter how many times I think about it.
Interesting.
Just because of
cool.
that element of it, you know. Well, very cool. Well, this is, like I said, it's out. And, folks, we have a link up, whether you're listening to the live show right now or if you're listening to the podcast in the future via iTunes, or I guess we're supposed to call it Apple Podcasts now. It's iTunes, their podcast page, I should say. However you're listening to it, there's a link. That link follows however you're listening to the show, and you click on it, and it'll get you to the Facebook page, the official 420 Massacre Facebook page. And I suggest you like it. Very, very important for people not in the business. People that are in the business, one of the first things that comes, and Dylan will tell you, into a lot of conversations, what's the engagement? That comes up a lot.
Feel free to follow or like the page. And I do, we have updates on the movie, but I also, like, for example, I was just talking about the Giallo movies. So every week I'm trying to get some reviews up for whatever movies I watch that week. So I do like reviews on cult classic kind of stuff too. So there's other content on there that should be entertaining.
Very, very cool. Well, I know you're very busy, and I want to thank you, Dylan, for being on the show. Once again, folks, 420 Massacre. Check it out. I watched it this weekend. It was fantastic. You want to have a fun night? And of course, if that happens to be your thing, by all means, partake. But you don't need to necessarily to enjoy this movie. It's fantastic.
I appreciate it. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Besides, it's perfectly legal now, right out in California. And from what everything we've heard,
you're okay here, and don't ask them to tell
you. I am surprised where I live in South Florida or New York South. There's all kinds of names where I live. That it's not legal here because just the glaucoma. Benefit, one would think. A lot of people with glaucoma in my neighborhood. That's all I'm saying. Are you? I think so. By the way, they draw. I'm kidding.
Was it? It's at 13 states are legal now. I think 13 states.
Oh yeah.
Legal and something like that. Because I think there's a certain point where if enough states legalize it, then it's de facto legalized. I heard that the other day.
Absolutely.
So.
Well,
anyways.
I think it was about a month ago. I saw. and not to get political or anything, I saw old John Boehner, that uptight senator, former senator guy, had joined on the seat. He's now like on the board of some big conglomerate. That's some conglomerate thing.
And I'm like, there's money being made. Yeah.
There you go. You know,
rich old white man money is in play now. So it's
yeah, exactly.
It's gonna be a growing business.
Kind of the writing's on the wall, folks. Yep. Exactly.
There's a lot of people like different industries, like in sales and management and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. Or going to weed companies or ones that are starting up and stuff. So it's going to be a little boom there. I think it's pretty easy to predict.
I think so. I tell you, I have a lot of friends in Denver. And I went to Denver a few years back for a weekend and wound up staying a year, which has happened many times to people over the years in the city of Denver. But this was pre all of the legalization and whatnot. And but I made a lot of friends there. And everyone has told me, the ones that are still there, because a lot of people had to move because the economy is doing so well. Rents just got, you know, L.A. crazy and stuff. They're doing real well with it out there. So, you know,
yeah,
if there's money to be made, people will get on board. See how that goes.
Yep.
Hey, maybe they want to invest in 420 Massacre 2.
Well, it's interesting because as you said, there's money to be made in that industry, so there might be potential interest to do some. I did a little bit. Like, I got a Hedy's gave us the bong for the movie, so we had a little sponsorship. But
nice.
If I do manage to get the next one on board, I'm sure there'll be a lot more tie-in stuff that we'll be able to get. So,
nothing wrong with that, man. Nothing product placement.
Hey, brilliant. I don't care, man. Yeah, it's like there's opportunity and it helps out the film, so why not?
Exactly. People ask me a lot. I get this question a lot from people. People are like, so what really inspires you to pay? I'm like, bills, you know, car payments. trying to
what
put in an outdoor theater.
They could sell your work. I mean, it's difficult to make money creatively in any capacity. So I imagine, especially with painting and stuff, that's got to be pretty difficult, more difficult than music and movies in a sense. But I don't know.
It is, but I tell you, it's got kind of its own built-in niche, and there's a charm element. People are like, oh, really? There's people still doing that? Haven't you ever heard of a cell phone? It's got a camera built right in it. You jackball, what's wrong with you? But people, you know, they add this element of charm to it, and and that's fine. I mean, we play it for all it's worth. sometimes people are like, well, it's a lot of money for something on your wall. I'm like, we also have posters in the merch store. if that's what you want, man, I got you covered. It's all good. You just got to keep your – you know what it's like, Dylan. You got to hustle down the court if you want to make the shot. You know, it's just – it never ends.
Totally.
That's just how it is, yeah. Cool. Well, Dylan, thank you so much for being on the show and taking time out of your day. I really appreciate it, and I can't wait to see more.
I appreciate it. Hopefully I can make more. So.
absolutely. Best to the missus, and you guys just keep pumping them out because they're fantastic. And everybody, listeners, go out and watch the 420 Massacre. It's fantastic. You'll love it.
Cool. Appreciate it, man.
Well, that's going to do it for us today.
Good luck with the painting and everything.
Dylan.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what else? This is kind of cool. I just thought about this. You are my 700 guest. This is episode 700. I can't believe it. That's a lot of podcasts.
Congratulations on that. That's a lot of hours.
Oh, I'm telling you. When I first started, I was like, we'll do like 50 of these, and then I'll see something else shiny and beyond to that. Oh my gosh! Well, it's kept me out of the bars, so that's a good thing.
good job.
Hey, we'll talk to you soon, Dylan. Thanks again, man. You rock. You're awesome.
All right, thank you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, folks, and that's going to do it for us today. Today is a Monday. We will be back tomorrow evening. We have a fantastic, and I know I say fantastic too much. I got an email the other day. Somebody complained about that. We have an awesome show tomorrow. Snipers of Babel is going to be on. An awesome metal band. How about that? Very, very cool. That's tomorrow evening, 9 o'clock here on the East Coast, and that'll be 6 o'clock out on the West. This show, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms, including Apple Podcasts, which is the old iTunes podcast page. Hey, if you are listening to the show in the future on Apple Podcasts, do me a quick favor. It doesn't cost anything. Hit that ratings and review. That keeps us up at the top of the page. And, you know, our sponsors just really, really dig it. Makes my life a lot easier. And, you know, I can buy the expensive pet food for my bougie dog, Mei Ling. No, I'm kidding. We buy her good food anyhow. Anyhow, we're out of here, folks. Enjoy the rest of your day or evening or morning, whenever you're listening to this. And we will see you tomorrow. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.